The True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle, Disc 5.
Chapter 16. It was 14 hours before I woke. If I'd known that much time had passed, I'd have realized something was amiss. No matter what the circumstances, it's irregular for any member of a crew to be allowed to sleep so long. For the moment, however, I remained in my hammock, blithely assuming it was simply not yet time for my normal watch. The canvas curtain had been restrung and was drawn closed, but that was the type of kindness Barlow or Ewing would have done. The familiar sounds of the running ship comforted me, and the truth is, despite the fact that my shirt and trousers were still damp, my body one great ache, I was enjoying my rest, thanking God and Zachariah I was alive. Suddenly I sat up. But Zachariah died. I had seen him beaten to death, committed to the sea. Was it his ghost, then, who had saved me? I remembered thinking of an angel. Had I hallucinated the moment? Made a story of it for myself? It was like the kind of forecastle yarn I'd heard the sailors tell so often. I had not believed them. Not then. And yet, what was I to think other than that a miracle had transpired? That, I told myself, was absurd. But I had not imagined it. I remembered the man's iron grip. Someone had helped me. Someone other than Zachariah. It had to be. But who? I reached from my hammock and drew back the canvas curtain. I was alone. Puzzled, I got up quickly and ran from the forecastle onto the deck. What I saw was as perfect a sky as any deep-water sailor could wish. The sun was warm, the breeze, out of the west, strong and even. And the deck was in good order, as if the storm had been but a dream. Even the foremast and bowsprit were fully rigged, their sails taut. Only the jagged stump of the mainmast, on the quarter-deck, stood testimony to the last 24 hours. How much the men had accomplished while I slept. I felt forgotten. There was Barlow, there was Morgan, Foley. It was my watch to be on duty. But why hadn't I been called? Then I realized that both watches were on deck. When I saw Ewing and Keach working near at hand, I went to them. "Ewing," I called. "Keach." Both men turned about. Instead of giving me his regular, casual greeting, "Mornin' to you, lass," Ewing stopped his work and gaped at me with a frown that signaled I knew not what. It gave me sudden pause. I glanced at Keach, whose pinched face bore his familiar rabbit look of fear. But like Ewing, he said nothing. "Why wasn't I called?" I asked.
"Called?"
Ewing echoed dumbly. "My watch." They offered no explanation. "Answer me." Ewing sighed.
"Charlotte, we were told not to."
"Told? Who told you?"
"It's not for us to say, miss," Keach whispered.
"You're not to call me miss," I cried out in exasperation. "Are you going to tell me or not?" Ewing looked at me reluctantly.
"It's Holly Brass. His murder,"